Welcome back to another episode. We have Channing Fitzgerald here, graduate student at Seton Hall University, studying nonprofit management. And we have her here to discuss Sam Killerman's new book, A Guide to Gender, The Social Justice Advocate's Handbook. Thanks for coming in, Channing. Can I ask you a couple questions about this book?
Of course. So nice to be here.
Okay. So tell me, what does A Guide to Gender discuss?
Well, Sam Killerman discusses how gender is perceived in society and the fact that gender is more ambiguous than the societal pressures that have been put upon it, and that we as human beings are often judged by our physical sex in regards to our gender, and those two things are separate. Gender encompasses your physical sex, how you mentally identify, mm-hmm. as well as who you are romantically and physically attracted to, as well as aspects of characteristics and personality. All of those things make up your gender and your gender identity.
Okay. I want to talk about more about societal pressure a little later on, but first, how do you personally identify when it comes to gender?
I personally identify as, I was born female. Right. I identify female. I identify as a woman. I'm a straight woman, and I like to be called she, her, hers.
Okay. So after you've read this book, do you believe that society's view of gender is harmful? And if so, in what ways?
Yes, I believe society's view of gender is extremely harmful. It's something that I hadn't really thought about, which is probably in regards to part of my privilege. I'm really lucky that I was born female and I identify female, and I've never questioned it. I've had stuff marketed to me and geared to me. There's never been anything in my head where I can't find myself and people similar to me out in the world, as well as represented in media.
Right.
So yes, I think how we view gender is extremely harmful. I think we put way too much pressure on physical sex and how you should be based on if you're born male or female. And I think we can do a better job, and the book addresses some of those things that we deal with and we don't even realize that we're dealing with. I mean, I think as a woman, I'm more attuned to how unfair certain things are in society. And we can delve into that. That's probably an entirely separate conversation.
Yeah.
But
we won't talk about that
today. But I think that it's harmful to every member of society. I think it's harmful what we do to men. I think it's detrimental that we don't allow men to be emotional and to be themselves. And it's perfectly fine for a woman to show emotion, discuss her emotions, discuss how she's feeling. But there is a reason that suicide rates are significantly higher among men than women. It's because it is not...
I didn't know that.
It is. Suicide rates are higher among men than women. And I think a lot of it has to do with the fact that we don't allow men to discuss how they're feeling or to show that they're sad or upset. They're human beings. They're not robots. They should be allowed to cry. I think about my own father. Like, I think I've seen my father cry 3 times in my life, if that.
Right. Yeah, I mean, those are definitely good points on how society's view of gender is harmful. So, what tools, I'm going to switch gears a little bit. What tools does Kellerman use in this book that you feel are helpful?
Well, I think my favorite tool that he uses is humor. And the reason I like that he uses humor is part of the thing that I learned in acting is humans have to have 2 responses. And the responses are when pressure and situations and content get to be too much, they either laugh or they cry. It's one of those reactions because right. there has to be a release. So he's discussing a lot of quote-unquote controversial content, as well as things that can be really heavy and sad to deal with at times when you read some of the statistics in this book. And through the use of humor, it gives you a mental and emotional break when you're dealing with some really heavy content. And he does humor not only in the way that he writes, but he also uses comics at every chapter.
Mm-hmm.
And I, as you can see, I'm kind of smiling because they, I would get to them and they would make me laugh. And I was, and I appreciated that as the reader. But he also has a glossary in the back. He does a very good job of explaining terms. And he also...
So that's probably, I'm sorry, that's probably a good tool because a lot of people, including myself, haven't really read too much into how people self-identify.
Right.
You know, so I think taking a book on like this for somebody like myself, even though I'm aware of it, I guess I still don't totally understand how people self-identify and, you know, the different verbiage that people prefer now, you know. And I guess the glossary would be a good tool because I'm sure a lot of people still have conflict with bending, even just bending grammar like that would bother people.
Yeah, and I think not even so with like the they and them, but there's things, there's distinctions between being gender fluid, gender queer, and bi-gender, which I honestly didn't know the difference. And up until a couple of years ago, till I was having conversations with some of my friends in the gay and lesbian community, I was like, I'm not really understanding what the difference is between if you're queer and you're bisexual, lesbian, gay. I don't know what does queer mean? And gender queer quite literally means like you don't really identify with male or female. You're kind of in the middle. You identify with both aspects of both genders.
Okay.
As an example. But can I also say one other thing?
Yeah.
Another tool that I really like that he uses is, and I think these are super helpful, just making you self-aware and getting you out of your comfort zone, are drills, and they'll be randomly throughout the chapters. Mm-hmm. And it's basically like written or mental tests for yourself to not only question your gender and how you gender identify, but also some privileges that you may not even be aware of just because you've never had to deal with them.
Right. Can you give us some examples of the drills?
Yeah. So one of the ones I really liked was on page 150.
Mm-hmm.
And it said, make a list of all of the expectations of you based on your gender identity that you don't live up to or embody. And then now make a list of all the expectations of another gender identity, not your gender, that you do live up to or embody. The completed list is one way of assessing your gender dissonance, which gender dissonance is ways in which you don't meet societal expectations of being female or being male. And when I started making that list, I'm going to stop saying this because I say it. I've always said, well, like, I do this like a guy or I do this like a guy, and I don't want to do that anymore because it's not specifically a male characteristic.
Right. Like throw like a girl.
Yeah, hate that. And I've always hated that. Or play like a girl. Or, and I had things said when I was a performer at schools, I had little boys say out loud, like, she's really good at that for a girl. And I would stop them and say, no, I'm just really good at it. I'm not really good at it for a girl. I'm good at it because I practiced, and anybody can be good at it if they practice. It has nothing to do with being a boy or a girl.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, I mean, I could definitely see where that is and how that list could really highlight things. Are there any other specific drills that you felt were useful tools?
That was my favorite one.
I mean, that sounds like a good starter. I mean, for somebody that's not too familiar with the whole, with the subject, it seems like that would be a good drill on where to start. But even so, even with that drill, I feel like it may not be the best for somebody that's not too familiar with the topic of gender.
Right, and the, you know, gender and how the multiple ways that you can identify with gender.
Because even so if I did the list, I think something that would go down for me as something that's not necessarily considered a male dominant trait, right, would be I show my emotions privately, but I do show my emotions, but I also don't feel that separates me any further from being a man than I am.
Well, that's the whole point of the discussion, is that gender is ambiguous, and just because that's not a female characteristic to show emotion. We've just in society made it that and then told people that. Right. That's why when, just as an example, that Gillette ad came out, and it, there was no offense against being masculine or being a man. It was literally just like, raise good men to be kind and thoughtful and also be aware of women's issues. And people were upset about it. And all of these women are on the other side going, you're mad because a Razor ad for the Super Bowl is calling men to be good and right. kind? And when did being a man mean that you aren't kind and self-aware? So I guess that's like a very recent example of gender.
Yeah, that's true. So tell me about Killerman's Platinum Rule.
So Killerman's Platinum Rule is, so okay, we all know what the Golden Rule is. The Golden Rule is
treat others how you want to be treated.
Exactly. And Killerman uses the Platinum Rule, and it's not treat others how you want to be treated, it's treat others how they want to be treated, which means you're taking in clues that you're getting both physical and through their nature, but also you're taking the time to be respectful and considerate of someone mm-hmm. else's emotions and thinking about how maybe, based on what it is that you're assessing, how they would feel about terminology, how they want to be referred to as. And the Platinum Rule, I think, is so awesome because it's taking yourself out of it and being considerate of another human being.
Right. So as you have the book open right now, I see a page with a gingerbread man on it.
Oh, gingerbread man.
Gingerbread.
Well, gingerbread person. It's gingerbread. Not man, obviously.
Okay. Can you just describe?
Sure. So the gingerbread person is another great tool that he uses. And it's what would be considered like a traditional gingerbread
right.
cutout. And it talks about the aspects of gender. So it has this cute little guy, girl, they, mm-hmm. and there's identity at the top, which is your brain, which is what I had discussed in the beginning. How do you feel like you identify? Do you feel like you identify as a woman or a man, or are you somewhere in between?
Right.
Attraction, which is physical and emotional attraction. Mm-hmm. Who you could be physically attracted to men, but be significantly more emotionally and romantically attracted to women. That can be a thing. And then sex is, do you identify physically as male or female, or somewhere in between? And then how do you choose to express yourself? Which, how do you dress? How do you portray yourself in society? Are you gender fluid? Do you transition throughout the day where you're significantly more male than female? All of those kind of things. So the gingerbread person is a easy way, a visual way, when you were talking about people that aren't comfortable or used to dealing with gender. This is a really good physical way to look at
visually. Yeah, I think it's always easier for people when they're starting out in a subject, especially myself. I mean, to be able to visualize something, and you know, I see it has the anatomical sex symbols down here in the crotch of the gingerbread person.
But these are also done on scales. So like,
right, and I see the scales here.
So you can fall somewhere in between this. Like you can fall significantly more female, or you can kind of be kind of in the middle.
So what I like about it is I think what he's showing is, though, even though, you know, scientifically and historically, we look to this one region of somebody's body to say if you're a man or woman, that doesn't
quite encompass gender.
Gender.
Right.
Because you have the heart.
You have how you mentally.
And your brain.
Yeah, and also how you physically portray.
You know. So, yeah, and then you have, he has the whole gingerbread person encompassed in expression.
Yeah.
So I think it's a good tie-in to all these different points, a nice visual tool to help people out.
The cool thing is there's cutouts in here, so you can, like, have conversations with your friends like we're having right now, or, you know, talk to other people who are not as comfortable.
So this is more or less the evangelist guides to gender.
Pretty much.
Okay.
Could hand this over and be like, go forth and be awesome and treat people well.
All right, so now that we talked about all the great things about this book, do you have any critiques?
Yeah, my main critique is I almost wish he's so thorough and uses so many great tools like we had discussed, but I almost wish there was like a precursor to this because I think about handing this to someone in my parents' generation who doesn't live in a major city, who grew up in a small town their whole life somewhere in the deep south, which I run into often because that's where my mother is from. And I think about handing them this book, and even though he is so good at explaining things, they wouldn't even know what to picture in their mind of what this would look like in the real world. And
And I can
so.
understand that. I mean, even from growing up in this area, I can't, I did come from a small town. I was taught equality by my parents, but I learned a lot of this on the fly. And even so, gender neutral, he, she, they, this is still a very new subject for a lot of people. For most all people, this is still a very new thing,
I absolutely agree
right?
with
'Cause
you.
acceptance wasn't huge even 5 years ago.
Acceptance wasn't huge when I was in high school. And this, I wasn't thinking about discussing things like this when I was in high school. And I'm not that, I'm 30. I'm not 70. I'm 30. And so that's what I mean. And I was exposed to a lot more of this because I was in theater and because I did live in the city and because I worked in Hell's Kitchen with LGBTQ people. Like, this is something I was significantly more familiar with when I started reading it, but I think about handing this to somebody who has no idea what this would visually look like or knows a person or has seen a person on television, and I think they would just have so many questions. So my critique is, this is awesome. I wish there was a precursor that was a little
Yeah, I think there needs to be something more vanilla
more vanilla.
for people to, get into it. I mean, even like I said, I came from a small town. My life's been dominated by work and activities that are predominantly male. And, I played hockey, I played football. There wasn't many opportunities in my life that I've been exposed to things that aren't extremely, quote unquote, masculine. A lot of the things that I've done in my life haven't had space for feminine traits. So, for something like this, for me to read, somebody coming from that background, I think a more vanilla introduction to a book like this would greatly help me appreciate what I'm actually reading in Sam Kellerman's book.
And I completely agree with you. And that's the only thing I was thinking of is I really enjoyed the writings and the tools and the things that he used, and that's my critique of it. But the reality is, he has a website. This is an awesome book. If there's stuff that you don't understand, Google exists for a reason. Like, and the fact that people are even willing and open to have conversations about this, I think is what the mo is the most important thing. And I think it in 10 years, I think we're going to see a societal shift in how we treat people.
So, bottom line,
Read the book.
read the book. Great book.
Go to his website.
Go to his website. There's a ton of fantastic tools in here
Yes.
that you could take out to the world and really advocate for this and evoke a
Use.
change.
Yeah, absolutely.
Great. Well, that's all I have.
Thanks for having me.
So thanks for coming in. And we hope to see you again soon. Everybody, Amazon, Barnes and
Amazon, Barnes
Nobles,
and Nobles,
the few
plural.
bookstores that exist. Maybe just Barnes and Noble. I'm not sure if there's
RIP,
another one.
RIP Walden Books. Thanks
And
again.
thank you. Thank you.